Hello again. Well, for my money and for yours, this is the best episode of the entire series. In this episode, we're actually going to take what we've learned and we're actually going to launch the process. We're actually going to build the lab machines and we're actually going to finish the lab machines with some additional steps that are all documented in this document that you see right here, the IT Innovation Series Lab Build Guide. This is the build guide that I created so that you can build the lab environment, the four virtual machines, the networking, the connectivity and storage and all that are required for the sake of those machines to be able to then run the labs that are associated with these, with the Azure Resource Manager content that we did a few months ago in some live events. So the lab guide has you walks you through the entire process. It talks about building your Azure trial, and although we will talk about some limitations to the trial in a little bit here. Trying to scroll through this here. It gives you information about where to begin with Azure. It instructs the software that's required. Now, as I talked about in a previous episode, one of the things we'll need on our local machine prior to even launching this script is the fact that we need to have the PowerShell commandlets for Azure installed on our machine. So if I actually go to this link, I don't think that's actually a URL, so let's, or a hyperlink, so let's just copy that and go to a browser, and I'll go ahead and steal this tab here. This shortcut actually brings us right to the Azure PowerShell installation. So it's actually downloaded the installation. I recommend, though, rather than doing that you go directly to the Azure portal to get that. In fact, if I just go to, I'll steal this tab again, azure.microsoft.com, the resources tab is where you'll find the downloads. And the downloads is where you'll find, if you scroll down a little bit, the command line tools. And the important one right here is the PowerShell Windows install. Now, the reason I say that you should use this is because this does change every so often. This link pointed you directly to a executable that was online, but that might not be the most recent executable. So I recommend you do it this way. I may make a modification to the build guide so that I point that out in the guide itself. So that's my bad. But once you have those installed, you can use the integrated scripting environment for PowerShell in order to make this happen. I've got a number of files here that we don't need anymore, so let's close those up. In fact, I'm going to just close these tabs, and we're going to start fresh. And I'm not going to save that. Yeah, let's close it. So let's start fresh. Launch the ISE. Comes up with a couple of errors with some tools that I don't have installed yet on this machine that I had installed on previous machines. And there we go, blank slate. Now, what do I need to do next? Well, in the documentation, the build guide, to create the lab machines, we have the PowerShell ISE running. And then we have to navigate, let's spell that right, to the aka.ms AZ InfraLab based script. Now, that's actually a link that's also in that the links document. But we're going to go ahead and go directly there. And that's going to bring me into the GitHub repository and directly into that particular script. And the instructions in the lab build guide tell you to click on raw so that we get just the text of that script. Select all the text, copy to the clipboard, go back to the ISE and paste it. Now, it's up to you if you want to save this. It really doesn't matter because we're going to be just executing this script in its entirety, and we can do it right from in here by selecting all the text and clicking on the Run Selection option up at the top. Now, this script, before we launch it, actually, let's launch it. I'll launch it, I'll describe what we're doing and what it's asking for, and then while it's running, I'll show you what this script actually has in it. So let's go ahead and launch the script. Now, the first thing the script is going to do is prompt me to log in to my Azure subscription. So I'm going to enter my credentials here. Now, because I happen to be a domain a Microsoft employee, because I happen to be on the corporate network right now, this is actually going to redirect me to the organization sign-in page, and my organization knows the authentication's here. I have a smart card installed, a virtual smart card, so it's able to do the credentials for me pretty automatically. If you are using a Microsoft account at this point, it would prompt you for your Microsoft account credentials, your account email address, and password. So in this case, it looks like the credentials have worked. I'll give this a little more space here. And now we also are being asked to type in our initials. So at this point, this script is actually asking for something that can uniquely identify the resource group and some other items that are being created that need to be globally unique. And so we're going to base some of those things and add a couple characters to those objects so that they can be done that way. And you can find them more readily as well. Now I'm going to enter KAR2 because I already have in the in my Azure subscription that I'm using, I already used KAR, so I don't want my resource group to conflict or having it attempt to try to modify an existing resource group. So we'll go ahead and put a 2 on the end of that. And then the next thing this asks for is the resource or the place in the world, the Azure data center region that we want to put these resources. And I'm giving you a choice of 2, either East US or West US. Really doesn't matter which one you pick, just pick whichever one is closer for you. I happen to be in Minneapolis, so I don't know, it doesn't really matter. West, I'll just say West US, and do type it carefully because it's gonna be using this. And there we go. I could have probably built something that actually prompted with a drop-down in a form and prompted you to do it that way. That would be another way to do it, and you could probably make this a little more pretty. And there we go. It's deploying the VMs. Going to take about 30 to 45 minutes to complete. Now, while that's running there, I'm going to jump back to the browser, and I'm going to go back to my resource groups, and I should see a new resource group here called RGAZLab KAR2 for my initials, and notice it's already got a couple of things created. Now if I look at the deployments, in fact this is not a full list. If I click on this full list here, it's going to show even as we were talking, additional items have already shown up. Storage accounts have already been created, the virtual network has been created, the public IP addresses are there, the NICs are all created. Boom, 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 boom. That happened in pretty much no time. In fact, the sync machine is already one of the machines that's being configured right now. And I can continue to refresh this, and I can see additional items continuing to appear. Now, eventually, we're only going to see those 4 machines and the rest of these resources, and that'll be it. And there'll still be a lot of other configuration to be done because, as we talked about, there's automation of creating the domain, of joining the domain with those domain members, the customization of downloading files and running additional customizations on those machines. Those things all have to still happen. And if I look at the deployment, a good way to gauge where you're at is actually to select the deployment that's still running. Notice it was a separate deployment that we actually launched, kind of a nested deployment to create the virtual network, and that's already done. But we are still running the Azure Deploy deployment. And if I click on that and scroll down a little bit, we'll see that a lot of things have already completed successfully, and currently we're at the point where we're creating the virtual machines. The sync machine's already created or is in process, as well as the Edge, DC, and admin are all currently being created. Great. So that's all running great. We're just going to let that sit there and continue to run. But I do want to go back to the PowerShell window here. Notice it told me that we launched the installation at 4:02, so we should see maybe about 45 minutes to an hour from now. It may take a little while, depends, sometimes quicker, sometimes shorter, that we will then it'll come back and complete successfully. But while that's running, I want to show you what this script actually does for us. So the first thing it did for us is prompted for the login. And so you see that here, login Azure RM account. Now, Azure RM account, login Azure RM account is a command that is one of the newer commandlets based on this new model of Azure Resource Management. We no longer have to switch modes. For a time there, we were switching between the Azure Service Management and Azure Resource Management modes. Service Management being the older, original infrastructure as a service kind of architecture, the newer one being the Azure Resource Manager. And switching the modes allowed us to use essentially the same named commandlets, but for different targeting different types of operation. Now that is kind of confusing. It's good because the scripts will work if you move from one mode to another. You don't have to change the commandlets, but it was determined that it made more sense to actually add a set of commandlets with the RM added to it, and that's what you see here. And kind of simplify the process too of logging in and associating your current session with a particular subscription. So that's what we're doing with these two commands, the get RM subscription, then getting the list of subscriptions and setting our Azure subscription. Notice that we are being prompted here for our initials. and that's what this does, and gives us a prompt as well. We are prompting and populating a variable called $loc for the location, West US or East US in our case. And then we're creating the name of the resource group, the asset location. So this is the path to the cloud where my files are. Whoops, don't do that. Undo that. And then also then creating the full URI to the Azure Deploy JSON file and the full URI to the parameters file. Now note there is a comment here saying use this only if you want to use Kevin's defaults, because that's pulling it from the online version of this. Might be okay for you, but maybe not. And you'll see down further, we actually don't do that in this script. We actually use a parameters object that we build, and we can modify it right here in the PowerShell. So that's yet another way to get information. A third way to actually run the creation of these resources is to pull from local files instead of a repository-based file. In that sense, we would have a parameters file location and a template file location, and the command to create the resource group deployment would actually use those paths to the files themselves rather than the URIs. And there's different named parameters for that. I have an example in the script here as well. But we're going to be using the template file URI. Now, this next section, I needed to create and make sure that I had unique DNS names for the four machines. And in order to do that, I use a command to test the DNS name availability on a number of things. So basically I'm iterating through, I'm putting a number on the end, I'm incrementing that number, and when I find one that's unique, that's not being used anywhere in the world, boom, we grab it. And we grab it for the domain controller, we grab it for the admin machine, the edge machine, as well as the sync machine. Now here's where the magic happens. Well, more of the magic happens. This is that parameters object that I was talking about. So we're basically building an object of these parameters, name and value pairs, location, DNS, VM name, for the DNS name for the DC, for the administration machine, as well as the size of the machine as well. So we're creating standard D1 machines for three of those machines. The edge machine has to be a standard D2 because it has two NICs, and two NICs are not available in a D1. D2 is the first next largest size that actually has two NICs. Now, be aware. And this is I always want to point this out. I should point this out more often. This particular script in building all four of these machines in a trial account will fail. The reason it will fail is because the Azure trial, is limiting you to four cores. And four cores is not enough to run all four of these machines because the D2 has two cores. So you choose a D2 for the sake of those two NICs, but you're getting two cores. That's five total cores. That's too many cores. That's one core too many for the trial. So you may have to do some modification to the script. If you simply want to do lab 3, for example, leave the sync machine out. Don't do the sync machine. And even so, when you get the machines running, you're already maxing out on the cores. You will have to use a separate Azure subscription as a target for the labs themselves. You know, where am I going to build those machines that are required for the labs? That's additional cores, of course. So you need to be aware of those sorts of things when you're doing this. This is going to work the best if you already have a corporate set up, a corporate subscription, maybe an MSDN subscription that has a greater size limit in terms of the number of cores that you can use. All good options for running these scripts. I'm also setting the domain name, the administrator password, and the asset location, of course, is that path, the base part of the path to the contents that are online in GitHub. Those are all being passed in as parameters. The next thing we do is create the resource group with a new Azure RM resource group commandlet, giving it the resource group name and location. We display some information about the fact that we're deploying now the VMs, take 30 to 45 minutes to complete, and then we're sending out the time so that you know what time we actually started, as you see here. Now the heart of the command is right here between these braces. New Azure RM resource group deployment, giving it the resource group name, the template file URI, so that's the pointer, the full path to the Azure deploy.json file in the cloud, and that parameter object that we just built. That's really as simple as it is. If I wanted to use the default parameters, then I would use a template parameter URI to point to the online version of the parameters as they are already filled out. And of course, those are mine. Those are my parameters. They may work for you. They may not. It's really up to you. But I put this in here as an example. So that's what we're doing. We're currently measuring the command so that when this command is done, we'll actually see exactly how long it took to run. And that will give us a good idea how many hours, minutes, seconds, and so on this took to complete. And it'll give us a note of about what time it completed when it comes back. Now, a couple of other notes before we take a look at the progress. I put some other examples in here. If you want to, for example, shut down all the virtual machines in a resource group when you're done using them, so maybe I need to take a break from the labs, maybe it's bedtime and I want to sleep and I come back maybe tomorrow and start them up again, do shut the machines down. Because running virtual machines, even stopped virtual machines having been stopped from within the virtual machine, they're still allocated, okay? You need to actually stop them either from the Azure portal or programmatically, as I'm showing you here. Get Azure RM VM in the resource group. Basically says, give me all the virtual machines in this resource group and then stop them, enforce the stop. And that's going to shut them down nicely. So good, that's a good way to save some money there. And then in the morning, when I come back, I would have to, of course, populate this variable with the resource group name and log into the Azure subscription, but then I could actually run this command to get Azure RM VM, all the VMs in the resource group, and then start them up again. And then at the end of the labs, and when I'm all done and I want to kill the resource group, here's yet another command that we can actually take advantage of. Remove Azure RM resource group. Point to the resource group, force it, and that will delete everything. Everything in that resource group, including the resource group itself, will be gone. All the storage accounts, all the NICs, all the IP addresses, all the virtual machines, gone. So it's a really good way to clean up when you're all done with this, or if you just simply want to start over at somewhat later point and rebuild the lab environment, you don't mind letting it run for another half hour to recreate all those objects, that's another thing you can do too. So let's see where we're at. Let's see how the deployment's going here. I'm going to actually back out a little bit here and refresh on this resource group to see the resources here. And if I look at the entire list of resources in the resource group, I see all that I expect, which is great. Now this is a little bit misleading in the fact that it says succeeded. The last deployment succeeded. There is one succeeded deployment, but there are other deployments that are still running. So it does say that we're somewhat successful, but you need to look at the deployment history to see that there is actually a deployment still running. And if I drill into that, I can see all the different parameters and all the values that were passed into them, as well as the state of our deployment. Now it looks like where we're at now, the sync, edge, DC, and admin machines are all created, all up and running, and now we're in the part of the stage where we gotta wait. At least the rest of the machines have to wait, because right now we're actually upgrading that DC machine to a domain controller, creating a new forest, Contoso.com forest, as a matter of fact, for that domain controller. So I'm gonna pause the video here for a minute, and I'm gonna come back when something else interesting happens, either success or failure, and then we will further continue on our building of the lab environment. Well, here we are about a half hour later, and you'll see that the deployment is still going on, and in fact, we're still stuck at the creating Active Directory forest in this machine. So this particular build is taking a little bit longer than I expected. So what I'm going to do instead, I'm going to let that continue, but we do have a set of machines that are already set to go and completed, because you'll recall we also created a resource group called AZLabKAR, and those machines are all up and running. Everything succeeded, the deployments all succeeded. In fact, in the same vein, if I look at the deployments, and I see all the deployments here that have completed, including the Azure deployment, which is the big one. I can actually scroll down and see all the different steps and how they worked out. Creating the NICs, creating the virtual machines, creating the forest, updating the DNS in the virtual network, joining the domain, and running automations after we get the lab files. So all these things happened, many of them in parallel, many of them requiring other steps to be completed first, but all completed successfully. So with that, and going back to the lab manual, let's see where the next step is. So basically, this is what we've done. We ran the thing, we entered our initials, we entered our location in the world, and now we need to actually configure the lab machines. So we go to the resource group, we see those machines, we click on the admin machine, and we're already on page 4 of 6, so we're almost done here. And lots of pictures too, so that's good. On the admin machine, we actually need to connect to it in order to do some additional work. Now, I've already got a connection to the admin machine that we've been working through. And here it is, and just verifying that the browser is working for us and everything as we showed earlier. So the next step, once we're connected to the admin machine and we're logged in as Contoso/lab admin, and the password is as you see here, our traditional lab password, capital PASSW0RD exclamation point. We've logged into the machine, and I need to then install the PowerShell module to that machine as well. Now, that's one thing we didn't do automatically. I didn't actually get the PowerShell installation and install that for you. So I'm going to actually use this link, copy that to the clipboard, and one of the newer benefits of remote desktop is I can actually paste into a remote desktop session. And this will then download the file for the platform installer for the Azure PowerShell commandlets, because we're going to be doing some commandlets, but we're going to be doing them from this against Azure, but we're going to be doing them from this admin machine. So let's get rid of some of this other stuff here. And during these installations, I might speed up the video or cut out sections in order to speed up the process so we don't have to watch these installations all go completely. But just stick to the defaults, and the lab manual instructs that as well. Okay, so that's installed successfully. And notice there are other tools and other SDKs and things you could install, but we're not going to need those for this set of labs, so I'll go ahead and exit the platform installer. Now back to our lab manual. We need to install a couple of other things. Now there's some additional utilities that are already installed into the files, into the lab files folder, and such as the local Git engine, the GitHub desktop, and Visual Studio code. We don't have it there, but you can download it from this location. So those are the three remaining pieces to do. So let's go ahead and do that. Again, they're in the lab files. We're gonna find those there. Oop, that's not my virtual machine. So here's the lab files, here's the utils, and here's the Git installation. So we're going to run that, and just take the defaults. Same thing with the GitHub setup, just take the defaults. And then the last piece was to install Visual Studio Code, which you can find at this link here. My taskbar from my host machine is showing up on the virtual machine in the remote desktop, so need to auto hide that. So those tools are going to be required for the labs, in particular for lab one, when you start working with Visual Studio Code, and you'll create your own GitHub repository, you'll work with the local Git engine, you'll stage changes, you'll commit those changes, and then you'll push those changes up to your portal. So very easy to install, just click the download and run the Windows installation. All right, well that's it. That's all that you need to know to be able to get these lab machines up and running. Now in subsequent videos, I'll walk you through the labs. I'll walk you through how to get started into the labs. We won't go through every little detail about the labs because of course that is an exercise left to you. You'll learn better by not following me, but by actually diving into it and using that. Now again, where do you find that information? The links. So go to aka.ms/azinfralablinks, get this document. This document also contains all the additional URLs that you'll need, such as my GitHub repository, the QuickStart templates, and so if you want additional examples, the documentation themselves, so the build guide that we just walked through is right here, and the homebrew edition of the labs, the labs 1 through 4, once those machines are all built, you can find them at this lab guide link. And of course, further resources if you want to keep in contact with me, such as the landing page for this series, my Channel 9 location on the Full of IT location on Channel 9, as well as my blog called Full of IT. Well, I hope you have found this series useful and you'll take good advantage of it. Don't hesitate to contact me, get in touch with me through these social media outlets, and love to hear from you. If you have any questions or have any problems, concerns, don't hesitate to look me up, and good luck. Hope you learn a lot from this.